Today's daf in Masechet Shkalim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Vav. And we're holding right at the top of the daf, which is the second perech, Mitzarfim Shkalim, and we are in Halacha Gimel. So here is a case of a guy who is poor, and he doesn't have enough money to give his shekel at one time. So what he does is he takes a pushka, and he says, listen, I'm going to be putting in money here every week. I'll put in a little bit. Hopefully we'll be able to get together my machzis ha-shekel. So he keeps putting in money for his machzis ha-shekel. And he's being mechanes ma'ot. He's bringing his money together, gradually putting it, I don't want to say piggy bank, of course, when we're talking about something which is kodesh for the Beis HaMikdash. So, I mean, the goyim only made up that word in order to be mezalzel in the shkolim. So obviously we're not going to use it. So he put it in his shofar bank. And this is going to possibly to create a problem. Why? Because remember, one of the most important elements of the shkolim is that the idea of it is that everyone has an equal share in the karbonis. And that is ashir lo yarbeh, nidal lo yamit. It's got to be a machzis ha-shekel, and you can't have different people giving different amounts of money. Now, over here, this guy keeps putting in his little nickels, and he turns out that when it's time to give his shekel, he takes out the cash, and he's got more than a shekel in there. So what happens? So Beit Shammai Omrim, since Beit Shammai Shita, remember, always is that the halacha is that the hegdash, b'ta'ut, is not considered to be hegdash. And over here, this guy specifically wanted to put in his extra funds only in order that they be kodesh for the shekel. So he made a mistake. He was giving more than necessary. That's hegdash ta'ut. Therefore, says Beit Shammai, the question over here is that, therefore, Beit Shammai says that Hegdash Ta'ut Afal Pikein is considered to be Hegdash, even though you made a mistake. I forgot Beit Shammai comes first. So because of that, the Motran comes Linadava. And therefore, you use it for what's called Nidava. Now, what is Nidava? Remember that Nidava is this very special meaning in all of these contexts. It means that it's put into one of the shofarot, which are marked Nidava. And what Nidava means, as we've spoken about X number of times here, is that it's brought L'kayitz HaMizbeach. We buy olos with it, and those olos are used on the Mizbeach at a time when the Mizbeach is not busy. So it gets a dessert, so to speak. Kayitz gets a dessert. Beit Hillel says, no, Hegdash Ta'ut is not considered to be Hegdash, Lav Shmei Hegdash, which is their Shita all over. And because of that, the Motar is simply Chulin. So anything left over was a mistake. And if it's a mistake, then it never became Hegdash in the first place. Now, how about if at the time that he gets his little pushka up there, he says, all right, I'm going to keep putting money in here for the purpose of Sha'avi Mehem Shikli, so that I can pay from this money, meaning from out of this money, not that this money shall be my shekel. Now, that's a whole different issue, because before he said, Hare Elu L'Shikli, and you can't make something a shekel if it's more than the shekel. So it was never Kodesh, according to Beit Hillel. But if all you said was, look, I want to have money available here, to make Hegdash, and out of it I will pay my shekel. That's different. So over there, everybody is modeh that in that case, shavin shamotar chulin, because you never made it Hegdash. So Beit Shammai says, okay, so what you said was you want to have funds available to make Hegdash for your shekel? Okay, take whatever funds you need out of the funds that are available, which are obviously chulin. And then over here in this case, you never intended in the first place to make it Hegdash. You only wanted money in order to make what you need out of it Hegdash. The same thing will occur in a case of a chatas. So let's say a guy was saving up in order to buy himself a chatas. And at the time that he starts his pushka, he says, look, I want this money to go to my korban chatas. Then it turns out that he's got left over. So in that case where he says, Elu chatati, so there, both agree, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, both agree that that is classic motar chatas, because the guy is giving more money than is necessary. That cannot be done for a shekel, and because of that, by the shekel, it's an issue of hegdash ta'ut, but by the chatas, it's an issue of motar chatas. So there everybody agrees that motar chatas, as always, goes lit nidava. But if at the initial making that shofar, you said, okay, here I'm putting in these coins in order that I should have money available in order to bring my chatas, then again, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel say, okay, then the guy never made them Hekdash. He said he wants money to be able to make Hekdash. So whatever he made Hekdash for his chatas, that's the chatas. Amar Rabbi Shimon, what's the difference? Let me explain to you. The difference between the case of the shkolim and the case of the chatas is very simple. Shkolim are predefined. You can't add to them. So Elashel Shkalim, Yeshlam Kitzba. But Lechatat ain't Lechitzba. When it comes to a chatas, so over there, if you keep putting in money, that's Moser Chatas. I mean, theoretically, you could find an extremely valuable chatas that's an award-winning animal that's worth more than the money even that you put in. So there's no particular value to a chatas, and therefore all of it is certainly suitable for your chatas. Whatever part you use, you use. Whatever part is left over is considered to be Moser. Says Rabbi Yehuda, wait a second, what are you talking about? There's no kitzvah on shkalim. I mean, we know that we're going to see later on, kisha'alu Yisrael min ha'gola, ha'yu shoklim darkanot. Initially, when Klal Yisrael came up from Bavel. So then, at that time, they used to be using the Persian coin, the darkon, as their normal currency. So then they gave a chatzi darkon, because you give half of the coin that is at that time. This is where the Rambam learns. The sugya will go over it later, according to the Ravid. Then when the government switched to shla'im, so then they started using shla'im, and then they gave a half of a sela, which is the current value at the time of the Mishnah of the machzis ha-shekel, which was called one shekel. Then the government switched to using tiva'im. So when the teva'im was used, one teva was itself worth only a chatzi sela, which is one shekel. So then they figured, okay, so now we'll give a half the dollar, meaning a half a teva, right? Which was one dinar, because then they wanted to take a half a teva. A half a teva became the standard one dinar, and that should be their shekel. Veloki blumihim. There the Chachomim refused to accept it. Why is that? Because, again, the way the Rambam understands the sugya is, you always give, as your shekel, one half of the standard coin that is being used officially at that time. But once the standard coin falls below the level of one shekel in the Torah, and then giving half of it will be giving less than the minimum value, then you can't give less. So there's a defined minimum, but there's no defined maximum. But anyway, so we see that it does not have any kind of limit. So I don't understand, why are you saying there's a difference between the chatas? It's the same thing. You could have very, very large machzis ha-shekel, says Rabbi Shimon, for heaven's sakes. The point is not that the shekel, I wouldn't say the shekel is defined. I'm saying at any particular stage, you cannot give a different shekel than anybody else. That's the point. That's the hashir lo yarbeh and adal lo yamit. I'm not saying that there necessarily has to be a predetermined value to every generation's machzis ha-shekel. I agree, there's only a minimum. But the point is, you can't have one individual saying, okay, as many coins as I collect, that's going to be for my shekel. That's not possible. So that is going to always be a kitzba. Masha'inka, when it comes to a chatas is defined individually. And there's no problem. So afapik and yad kulan shava, it always has to be the same amount that everybody brings. But when it comes to a chatas, one guy can be mevi b'sela, another guy can be mevi b'shtayim, and therefore everything is not going to be defined in any way, and there is simply a moser, which cannot exist for shkolim. It can't be a moser shkolim. Now, the Ravid argues totally with the Rambam. And he says there is no such concept as giving half of a local coin. Who ever heard of such a thing? It's a completely different meaning to the whole sugya. And what the Mishnah really means, says the Ravid, is that the Chachamim were mitaken at times of need that you had to give more. So when it says they gave darkonot, it doesn't mean they gave a half of darkon. It means exactly what it says. They gave darkonot. Look, when they came up at the time of Bavel, there were only 40,000 some people. How can 40,000 some people, smachtes ha-shekel, support all of the karbonos of a year for all of Klal Yisrael? Okay, so because of that, I mean, they weren't getting the cooperation from all over the world, you know. This was tough times. So they made a takana that everybody who's giving shekel should give a darkon at that time. And there was a heck of a lot of problems at the time in which they had no money. So that's what it means. When they
came now, we need people to give much more than usual.
Excellent point. So, and especially if you want your darkon to be working, for sure. So in that case, all that it means is that originally when they came up from the Gola, that's why it uses these words, says the Ravid. Originally when they came up from the Gola with Ezra and they built the Beis HaMikdash and they needed money desperately, so they used to give a full darkon, which was 4 machzis ha-shekels. Then when they got richer, then not that the government changed the coins, then they started using the sellout. It has nothing to do with what the popular coin is, like the Rambam is using. Then when they had lots of people, so then they started giving tva'in. And nothing to do with a half of a teva. The teva was exactly the shekel. That's fine. That was also a kosher machzis ha-shekel, 1 teva. Then they wanted to go down to 1 dinner because they had lots of money. And the Chachamim said, you can't go down to 1 dinner. That's all that it means according to the Ravid. Okay. But anyway, the sugya doesn't change. Whether you learn like the Rambam or you learn like the Ravid, it's still true that there is no particular set upper limit, and therefore, what does Rabbi Shimon mean? And Rabbi Shimon says, of course there's a set upper limit. The set upper limit is whatever the shekel is going to be in that year. What is the norm that the dal and the usher will be the same in? That's all that I mean. Okay, so now we started talking about over here, says the Gemara, that a guy has got his little shofar bank, and he's putting in his pennies and so on, and he's saving up. And that's what the Mishnah says, specifically. I'm a chanes, a guy who's saving up, little by little. Okay. But let's talk about a different case. Let's talk about a case where a guy grabs a bunch of money, and he's not saving up. And he says the same words. He says, these are for my shekel. Now, what happens in that case where he did not estimate properly the number of coins that he's picking up? And he ended up picking up, indeed, more than the shekel. So how would the implications of the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel apply to this issue? So Rabbi Yossi B'Shem Rabbi Elazar says, look, ma pligin, when do we say that there's a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? That's only b'mechanes protrot. That's when he's bringing it in by pieces. So protrot actually is very well translated in English, piecemeal, right? Protrot. So he's bringing it in piecemeal. But if he just grabs it and he says, Elo l'shikli, so then everybody is made that obviously in that case, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's not insane. So he understands, look, I want all this money to go to Hekdesh. Obviously, I cannot give more than that to, I'm not allowed to, Asher lo yarbeh. So in that case, he clearly wanted for the motar to go as an adava. I mean, he's not a fool. Now, Reb Chia and Reb Bibi, they say, no, that's not what Reb Elazar said. Reb Chia and Reb Bibi said, B'shem Reb Elazar, when do they have a machlokes ma pligin dafka when he's collecting in his little shofar bank by piecemeal, the prot. But if he grabs a bunch of money and he says, these are for my shekel, then just the opposite, since he knows that he can't give more, he meant these are for my shekel. That is to say, I'm going to take my shekel out of here. And he definitely did. He knows that he can't give more. That's the point. Rabbi Chia, look, I mean, the way Rav Bibi is learning it is much more consistent with the Mishnah. Matnita Messiah l'Rabbi Bibi. Because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon, ma ben shkalim l'chatat, the difference is only in the fact that shkalim yesh lehem kitzvah and chatat ein la kitzvah. Okay, so tell me, what do you think the case is that we're talking about over here where Rabbi Shimon had to go out and explain a pshat that everybody would be made to, that there's definitely a case where I, Rabbi Shimon, will explain to you the Shita of both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. What is that case? Where is there such a case? So, im ba'omer sha'avim eihem shekli, if it's the case that was mentioned, that I will be bringing them by shekel. Over in that case, everybody agreed, kuli amamode, shemotaran chulin. If it's the case where it's in order that I should bring the chatas, also we said, everybody's made it. That the Mishnah spoke out and made it very, very clear that the din of the shkolim and the chatas in those cases is exactly the same. So what's Rabbi Shimon coming to say? Let me explain to you the big difference. There is no big difference. Those two cases were the cases where the Mishnah openly stated there's no difference. It's exactly the same as the chatas. Okay, so what's Rabbi Shimon coming along? The only case that he could possibly be referring to is Elakena non kayamim, because the other cases would be machlokas and Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, right? The two cases where we had the machlokas. But Rabbi Shimon is coming to explain the logic going to everybody. He's not coming to get involved in the machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And he can't be talking about cases where chatas and shkolim are the same, because he's coming to explain the difference between chatas and shkolim. So can you explain to me what the case would be that Rabbi Shimon would be addressing aliba both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? There's only one possible case. Elakena non kayamim. This case, where the guy grabs a bunch of money, and he says, Elul Lashikli. So he's saying, so why is it that when it would come to a chatas, and a guy would say, Elul Chatasi, it would be Moser Chatas, obviously. And when he says, Elul Lashikli, it's not Moser. That, which both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree to, that is because, Shkol, Ema Yedeshi Kitzvatan Min HaTorah Motoran Achulin. So basically, the Nedava will only work out according to Rav Bivi's approach in the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, not Rabbi Yossi's approach. So what is Rabbi Yossi going to do with this? I mean, it is a pretty good point, isn't it? Rabbi Yossi, who quoted Rabbi Elazar the first way. So, Ma Avad Le Rabbi Yossi, B'Shem Rabbi Elazar, what's he going to do with this? He'll say that it... Look, I mean, you're assuming a lot of assumptions over here to ask this kasha on me, that Rabbi Shimon is dafka talking about where everybody agrees and so on. You know, not necessarily. Rabbi Shimon was coming to explain why, according to Beit Hillel, in the case where you were putting in a piecemeal, and Beit Hillel nonetheless said that it does become Moser, which in the case of the Chatas, it does become Moser, he's coming to explain why it's different. I didn't say what's so terrible about that. Says the Gemara, but the very next Mishnah, Votaninan, Moser Shkolim, it says in the Mishnah over there that Moser Shkolim is Chulin. I mean, that, and it doesn't bring it a Machlokas, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Moser Shkolim is Chulin. Okay, there's got to be a case where everybody agrees that it's Chulin. So where would be that case? We went through the other cases, and there was a Machlokas in each of them between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So we could only be talking about the case that was quoted, in fact, by Rav Bivi, that a guy grabs the money, and in that case, he said, everybody's made it that the Moser is chulin, even Aliba Beit Shammai. So that shows that Rabbi Yossi is wrong. No, okay, we'll have to say that Rabbi Yossi, he learns that it doesn't mean according to everybody. He means according to Beis Hillel, the Moser is chulin. And that the Mishnah assumes that since it already explained the halacha in the previous Mishnah, in the beginning of the Mishnah, so then it's obvious that any intelligent reader will understand that the next piece that is referring to Moser Chulin is an extension of the previous Mishnah's, that is to say, our Mishnah's, description of the Shita Beis Hillel. What's so bad about that? Okay, now, another case where we could talk about Hegdash B'Ta'ut. Somebody takes off a shekel. He thought that he was chayim on his shekel. And then he remembered that he's potter. Somebody had been shokel for him, or maybe himself had given the shekel earlier on, whatever. What's the din? So according to Beis Hillel, that Hegdash Tos is not Hegdash. So then obviously it's completely low kodesh, there's no problem. Suppose, however, somebody puts two shkolim aside because he thought that he was chayev two shkolim. Okay, so the Pnei Moshe brings the case would be that he thought that he's putting aside one shekel because he didn't give a shekel last year. So he thought that he's giving Taklin Chadatin together with Taklin Hatikin. There's other possible cases. Well, let's take that as a simple case. Then it turns out that no, actually, one of them had already been paid. So now, what is the halacha in this case? Because in the case that we mentioned first, so over there, it's a complete ta'ut. Everything that you did was a ta'ut. Beit Hillel says it's Hegdash ta'ut. and there's therefore no hekdesh. But in this case, he did have a chiyuv, which is not the same size of the chiyuv that he thought he had. So what he gave, it's apparently he meant to give. The only problem is that he had actually given more than was necessary. And why is this different between the case where he had saved up and it turned out that there was more? Because over there, since he saved up bit by bit, so when the money came in and reached the stage in which it was worth his machzor shekel, boing, at that point, everything that was put in afterwards was there for no reason. And that's why it would be chulin, according to Beis Hillel. But in this case, the Gemara is wondering whether, since at the time that he took off this money, he definitely was chayev, so maybe in that case, even Beis Hillel agrees that, okay, the money that he wanted to give as an additional shekel, maybe that has a kedusha and should go to Moseros for an oila. So, oto hasheni ma'avidle. Says the Gemara, I'll bring you a raya from a braita. Yishmina menahada. He frish chatato. A guy had set aside a carbon for a chatas, thinking that he's chayav a chatas. It turns out that it was a mistake and he wasn't chayav a chatas at all. So then it's for sure not kaddish. But if he was mafrish two karbonas, and he thought that he had done two separate chatos, two separate iser karas, and turned out that no, actually one was an iser lav, was an iser kohen, whatever. And nimtza she'eino chayav ala achas. Otashniya ma'amat avidla. So over there, the braita asks exactly, it seems to be exactly this case. What do you do with that second one? The second one is ro'ah. You wait until it gets a mum, and you sell it, and you have to give the extra money linadonva. So then, should be the same thing over here. Okinami elu linadonva. So this is exactly the same case, word for word, right? I understand. No, what? There is no elu. Where's the elu? I understand. Hech omer ata elu. How can you say, here to these? There are no these. Where he said over there, because the case that we're talking about is similar to the case where he said, Elu l'shikli. And in that case, the din is that the meiser is actually a chulin, completely chulin. So you can't compare the two cases to a chatas. Because our Mishnah itself says the difference between the chatas and the shekel in the case where he said, these are for my shekel. In the case of the shekel, it's not. It's chul. In the case of the chatas, it's kodesh. So, obviously, it's not going to be able to be learned out directly from whatever the din is by a chatas. Reb Yehuda Eimer. So, Reb Yehuda, then the Mishnah continues on and says that they used to switch between the darkon, and then they switched to the sela, and then they, in the end, they wanted to even switch to the from the teva, they wanted to switch to the dinner, and so on and so forth. So what exactly are those coins? I mean, because not everybody was familiar with the coins that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Okay, so look, darkonot, those darkonot are what we call the golden dinner, which is worth four of our shkalim. So the darkanot are the modern dinner. Then they were chazur. That's not the same as the dinner zahav, which equals 25 shekel kesef and so on. This is the popular dinner that they used to refer to as the golden dinner. And then they were using sloyim. Sloyim, you all know what sloyim are, kishmuran. That's what we still use as sloyim, namely the double shekel. Then they switched to the tva'in. The tva'im are half sloyim. And then they wanted to use the dinarim. The dinarim that the Mishnah is referring to is what we call today the kratim, which are quarters, quarters, kratim. So the quarters, indeed, are quarter sloyim, and that is less than the value of the machzis ha-shekel. So they used the word quarter all the way back then. Okay, then it says the Chachamim refused to accept it. Why? What was the basis? Minhada. Vehemadnu aleinu mitzvot. Latet aleinu shlishit ha-shekel bashana la'avodat beit Eloheinu. So it says over there in Nehemiah that we accepted a chiev upon ourselves. That, I mean, what does that mean? They accepted upon themselves. I mean, obviously there was the same machzis ha-shekel that had always been, right? So apparently, again, according to the Shita, this is the Tikvi Chatzin's approach according to Shita the Rambam. So they were used to giving a machzis ha-shekel, obviously. But they gave the Machdis HaShekel from whatever, as the Mishnah said, the way the Rambam learns, whatever coin was the standard coin. So when the standard coin was big, you know, so they had the Darkon and they had the Sela, so then fine, there was no problem. What happened was, however, as the currency fell and they started using the smaller and smaller coins, so then the Beis Din HaGadol, the Nechemya and Ezra, they were worried about what would happen if people indeed would attempt to give less than the value in the Torah. This is quite a complicated sugya to know exactly what the value of the Torah was. They were afraid that people wouldn't give. So they were mekabel on themselves to always give a third of a darkon. The third of a darkon is daiva hoter. It's more than you really need to give, right? Because all you need to give is a quarter of a darkon. But because of the fact that they were afraid, listen, who knows, maybe even the government will start cutting down on the value of the darkon. So because of that, they made a kabbalah on themselves. Listen, we're going to keep going according to the way that the darkon is, and we'll always give, from this point on, we're always going to give something that is worth a shlish of a darkon. Okay, there are some shittas who hold that the darkon we have the wrong value for, and the darkon actually only has shlish shalosh shikle teira. Anyway, Rabbi Chilkiah b'shem Rav Acha says that's not what it's saying. It means that they would give three times a year. They would give their shekel, and mikan shitzarich adam l'shalosh shiklo shlosha pamim b'shana. From here, we see that a person should be giving. We're not talking about machzis hashekel. We're talking about the idea of tzedakah. And so that what they wanted to do is to make sure that people would give tzedakah a minimum. They would give one shekel three times a year. That way they know that they gave shekel. And because of that, we learn from here that you're mechuyev to give to tzedakah that amount of money. All right. This is, again, the way the Mefarshim say over here. I mean, there's the Gemara in the Bavli is Mashma, in Bava Basra, that your tzedakah should be yearly a third of a shekel. Not shlis, but shlishit, which is what the word that they use, shlishit ha-shekel. Okay, so that's a different approach. But anyway, you should be definitely be giving that amount of money. And you should do this three times a year. And this shows that you do not collect for more than three Rav Kaplan funds a year. Mikan she'ein matrichin al hatzibur, yoter mishlosha pamim bashana. Now, I mentioned to you earlier when we started this, that it's all very nice when Rav Barnea started his new thing, that it's all very nice. But remember that ein matrichin al hatzibur. So it has to be something that people are willing to be hassled about, because, I mean, we just gave for Purim. So I don't want to, like, you know, make it seem, I mean, we've had an awful lot of this. Okay.
We're going to wait for Shavuos. We have time for Shavuos. Please.
But remember, we dealt with Hanukkah and we dealt with, it's wonderful, but we should understand that you're asking people for more than is really correct. Rav Avi, we have another basis here. Mikan l'shalosh sa'in. Mikan l'shalosh kupot. We see from here that we have the din of the three big boxes, and we have the three separate hafroshas into the shalosh small kupais. So first of all, we have the three times a year that we put it into we do the new trumas halishka, and that's a big chiddush. And also, it should be into these three separate kupais. Now, the pasuk that says zeyit nu kol over ala pkudim. Machzis hashekel b'shekel hakodesh esrim geira hashekel. So what is the esrim geira hashekel? So Rabbi Nechemya said, okay, all of these things are remuzim in the pasuk to why it is that we're giving this coin. So one says, the idea is the machzis hashekel. That's what you focus on. Since the chet of the egel was b'machzis hayom, it happened at the time that they expected Moshe Rabbeinu down, Moshe Rabbeinu bo sheish, that's Boshesh Moshe. It's now noon. Where the heck is he? And that's when they made the Egel. Therefore, yitnu machatzit ha-shekel in memory of that moment. Others say it's not the machzis, it's the sheish. Lefi shechatu b'sheish ha'ot bayom. It's six units. Yitnu machzis ha-shekel. Because the machzis ha-shekel equals 6 grams. And shita gramsim, which were the original, apparently the original marker of the word gram, though the earliest reference we have to it is in Latin, but they should give 6 grams of silver. Rabbi Yeshua be Rabbi Nechemia, because it's bo sheish, those are the sheish grams. Rabbi Yeshua be Rabbi Nechemia b'shem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it says because they were over on the Aseres Hadibrais, therefore everybody should give Asara Gera. So therefore, each one should give a chatzi shekel, because it's esrim gerah ha-shekel. Each one should give asara gerah and the machzis ha-shekel, kedeged the aseres hadibreis. And there's also another approach, which talks about the esrim, as we'll see in a moment, but we begin with a general pshat of this remez to Yosef HaTzadik, and that is Reish Lakish. So Reb Rechia and Reb Levi, b'shem Reish Lakish say, that first of all, where do we get the idea of Esrim Kesev for the Kohen to be where we're paid a Bechor? That's the Fisha Machru, Bechor Shel Rachel, Be'esrim Kesev. Therefore, let everybody be paid as Beno Bechoro, Be'esrim Kesev. So that the 20 dinar, since there's 4 dinar to a seller, equals 5 Shalayim. And that's the amount that they sold Yosef HaTzadik for. So since your forefathers accepted that money for the sale of Yosef HaTzadik, everybody should be paid their son, their Bechor, for that amount of money. Which leads to the Reb Pinchas B'Shem Reb Levi, who says, L'fisha mochru Bechor HaShel Rochel B'Esrim Kasev, it turns out that each one of the Achim was Zocha to one half of the single shekel, because there were 10 brothers that were involved in the mechira. Binyamin wasn't involved. So So therefore, that means each one of them received one of the taba coins. So they each one got 2 dinars. Which explains why he should be giving his shekel, the minimum shear, which was the taba that we had. And that brings us back to the shkolin. Okay, yeah. I am sad that I didn't finish. I really thought we'd be able to make a massive push ahead. But I guess I can't. I'm waiting for everybody to say, sure you can, sure you can. But I've noticed that nobody's saying, sure you can, sure you can. Everybody's saying, yeah, shut up already.
Sure you can. Sure you can.
Keep going. I'm some player. Of course you can. Brucey. He's off and running, you know. That's the attitude. The heck with it.
I'll go with the flow. I'll say if everybody else does.
I think everybody wants to say, look at this. Ari Mandelberg, he says you're the little engine that could. That's what he says. So I don't know. It looks like, I mean, we're going to let down every child in the world if we don't do this. Sure you can, sure you can, sure you can. So therefore we have Richie introducing the next Mishnah. Motar Shekalim Chulin. So we've been discussing the Motar Shekalim and the Motar Chatas, and we referred to this Mishnah already before, which is always the case. So we introduced it with the Machlokas about whether this is the Kuleyama and it's, or is it going only a little bit of Beis Hillel. And we start off with the idea of Motar Shekalim, which we've just explained. What about extra money that was set aside for buying the Asiris Ha'efa? So we're going to see what the Asiris Ha'efa is. The Asiris Ha'efa might be a reference to anybody's mincha, which is the shear of a mincha, or it might be referring specifically to Barnea, who needs to bring a special Asiris Ha'efa, which we'll be talking about. So the dinim of that Asiris Ha'efa, or the leftovers of Kinei Zovim, or Kinei Zovais, or Kinei Yoldais, or Chatos, V'yar Shomos, all of those motarot, they fall into one of the pushkes, which were shofarot, in the Beis HaMikdash, that are called nidava. And Zaklal, basically the rule is, anything at all that was coming, l'shem chatat, or for any type of asham, it's always going to fall into the specific one that says nidava. Now, this is actually based on the pasuk as we'll see, that talks about also in Divrei Hayomim, it talks about the fact that we were mekabel on ourselves. Ko kesev ola, kesev Hashem, kesev ola, is la ko'anim yiyu. That's referring to the leftovers of Meisrais, and they're given to the Kayanim. In what sense? In the sense that the only one that gets any benefit except the Mizbeach out of these is that the Kayanim are zeicher to the orot, to the skins of those nedavos. All right, continuing on. Suppose you have leftover money from your own oila. Everything that we've talked about until now could not be used for anything else. And therefore, what do we do with the leftovers? But if you have an ola, personally, and you've got leftover monies from that ola, I understand if you had a chattas, you can't use the money to buy another chattas. But if you have leftovers from an oila, you could apply it to the next oila that you want to bring, you know, or buy a cheap bird oila maybe. I don't know, but you, certainly why would you give the money away to the tzibur if you've got leftover funds that can still be used? So the din over there is indeed, motar ola goes towards your own ola. Motar mincha goes towards your own mincha. Motar shlamim goes towards your own shlamim. And for today, the motar of Pesach is for the shlamim. And that, remember, we're going to get into today specifically why that would be true, which we spent a lot of time on back in Masechet Pesachim. So to make sure we're back in the sugya, the Gemara Shkolim wants to make sure that Daf Yomi fits today and therefore tells us what to do with the motar of Pesach. Motar nezirim. Now, this is not a personal nazir. It's nezirim. So it would collect money which was used to pay for the Zirim who could not afford their carbon. And over there, you had to bring an Eila and a Chattas and a Shlamim. So over there, if they didn't have money for the Nesachim, we would give them money. That was the Moser Nezirim. And that goes to the Nezirim specifically. And Moser Nazir for an individual, that would go to Nedava like anything else. Amar Rabbi Yossi. While I was over there in that unmentionable place, Adana Taman, I was back in Bavel, I overheard the voice of Rabbi Yehuda asking Shmuel, his Rebbe, what would be the din if somebody brought a shekel and then he died. He died before it was given to the Gizbar. Omar Lay, it couldn't fall to the into the same shofar as marked Nidava, like all of the others, because basically it was going to be used to buy also Korbanos Chatas, because it was going to be used for the Korbanos Hatzibur, which include the Seirim. So because of that, it's similar to anything that has in it some aspect. Same thing by the Nazir. I mean, the Nazir had an Eila also. It wasn't only a Chatas. But you see that basically if it's used partially for a Chatas, then it has to go into the Nedavos. You can't use it for one of the possible korbanos you could have used it for. Now, there's a special Minchas Chavitim, as we know, that is brought by the Kohen Gadol, which is an Asiris HaEifa. So what would the Kohen Gadol do with the Asiris HaEifa if there were Motarot? Rabbi Yochanan says there's nothing to do. You'd have to take that money, put it into the Yam HaMelech, make sure nobody is going to be Nichshal in Me'ila. Rabbi Lozer says, why would you have to do that? Why can't you put it into the Nedava? Because it should be the, and this is because in Moed Katan we learned that Yakriv Chatato is a reference to the Asiris HaEifa, which means that the Torah specifically calls the Mincha of a Kohen Gadol something that is similar to a Chatas. This is one of the psukim, the strange psukim in Yecheskel, that we have no idea what it's referring to, what chattas of a Kohen Gadol, and the Gemara explains that it's a reference to the specifically to the chavitim, which means that it's giving a special din, according to Rabbi Lazar, that the chavitim are given a halacha of a chattas in terms of this halacha, that meiser chattas should be brought as a nedava. Fine. Okay, this is all Machlokas ibn Achas, and Rabbi Yochanan there argues and explains that the Pasuk makes it very clear that even though it's called a Chatas, it doesn't have a din of Moser Chatas. Now, Masnisa Pligel Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnahs argue on Rabbi Yochanan, because the Mishnah says that Moser Shkolim or Chulin, and Moser Asirasa Eifa, and Moser Kinesavin Zavais, Moser Kineyoldais, Chatois Hashemais, it says Nedava. And that goes against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, throw it into the Yam HaMelech. You can't get it more clear that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong on this Mishnah because it says, Moser Asiris HaEifa, So what is poor Rabbi Yochanan going to do with his Mishnah? Ma'avid la Rabbi Yochanan? What do you mean, ma'avid la? It's very simple. What makes you think the Asiris Ha'efa that's been referenced over here is the Asiris Ha'efa Barnea? It's the Asiris Ha'efa, the Minchas Chayte of Kol Yisrael. And therefore, it is a Minchas Chayte, which can be brought, like any other Chatas, to Nedava as Meiser Chatas. So we said, your own personal Oila goes to your own personal Oila. So Rabbi Yossi Omar, oh man, Alda Olil Abba Barba. Abba Barba went wild about this. Now, Abba Barba is Abba Bar Abba. Abba Bar Abba is the famous Avuah de Shmuel, like we saw in the Gemara in Brachas. Right? When Shmuel went to talk to his father in the Olam Emes, he said, I'm looking for Abba Bar Abba Avuah de Shmuel. So the problem with this whole sugya is that the way that the Beforshim here explain it, the Abba Barba was going wild, and he was very angry about the following psak. He felt it was all wrong, and he attacked it again and again and again, and that's what alil means, like alilot. You know, you keep sending new tainas. Problem is that in the Bavli, he's the one who says this. So how could he be the one that's going around yelling about it? And because of that, in Rav Kanievsky's, this is Rav Kanievsky has a pirush on the Rishami. And originally it came out only for members of the Chabura. I think that now it's available. So I have someone who's very close to a member of that Chabura. So he would get me all of the Rav Kanievskis. So whether it's available now or not, the bottom line is that he says that the Lashon of Yer is Ola Abba Barbar. Abba Barbar came up to Eretz Yisrael specifically to argue out this halacha, and he was in favor of this halacha. They were the ones who were attacking it. Okay, but in any event, the halacha was, so De'inan Amri, Minayin Shapesach Mishtaneh L'Shem Shlamim. How do we know that a Korban Pesach becomes, if you shechter it Shelo Bizmano, that it turns into a Shlamim? Talmud Lomar, the famous thing that we've been discussing all through Mesachas Pesachim. Talmud Lomar Ve'im Minatzon Korbano L'Zevach HaShlamim. That korban that is meant to come in Atzon is meant to come as Shlomim. So now, they've yelled at this. Well, that's ridiculous. Or Abba Barbar attacked this. Abba Barbar, I mean, to attack this by saying, well, yeah, I don't understand. What do you mean Minatzon? An Ola comes Minatzon. So you're going to say that an Ola that was brought Shelo Lishma also, or Shelo Bizmano, whatever, I don't know what that meant. Are you going to tell me that it also becomes a shlomi? So Moser Ola should be a shlomi? The Mishnah says beferish that Moser Ola is towards an Ola. Nah, come on, man. It means davar she'eno ba ela minatzon. Obviously, I mean, use your brains. If it says minatzon, that then it's the shlomim, it means, is there a carbon that comes only from tzon? Yes. The carbon Pesach. Can't mean an Ola can be brought from Boker also. Hey, Tivon, so we attacked it further, or they attacked it further, again, depending on how we're learning. Well, what about an Asham? An Asham can only come from Tzon, and according to you, it means that if you have a Moser, Asher become a Shlomim, and the Mishnah says that it goes to the Nedava. Omer Rabbi Bon Bar Kahana, it says over here, Minat Tzon, any type of Tzon, okay? That means, what's included in Tzon? Tell me, what is Tzon? Sheep? No. Sheep or goats is tzon. An asham cannot be brought minat tzon. An asham can only be brought, it should say, minat kvasim. It can only be brought from sheep of different ages, sometimes elim, depending on which member. We have six different ashamas. Two of them are different, but okay. But no asham can ever come from a goat. Oh, boy, I love the way you make things work out. Whenever you want them, you apply them the way you want to. That is really disgusting. All over Shas, whenever it says min, min means out of, not all. Now all of a sudden, minatzon means from any type of tzon. Come on. A little bit of intellectual honesty, man, you know. V'kanat amar, min is a way to be marba, that it's got to be from any tzon, and therefore it doesn't include asha. That's crazy. Amr Ibn Manin, no. Min is Lamayit over here. You just don't know what it is to be mamayit. It's mamayit anything that we have. A Pesach cannot come from something that is 2 years old, can it? Even when it's its own. Can a Pesach be brought from a female? No. Cannot be brought from a female. What we're learning from over here is from the hay. Hatzon. That's what we're saying. Hatzon means the tzon as a set, which includes both sheep and goats, but not from all of them, because not from Elim. They're too old, and not from females. Okay, fine. So now, by Asham, min itself, I mean, it comes from here. If it wouldn't have been for that extra hay, then I would have said it was referring to the Asham. Now that it says min, you're telling me the hay, I mean, the hatzon, so then it would have meant that the Asham is also brought as a shlamim. But then what would have the word min meant for the Asham if it wouldn't have been coming to be mamayit this? So gabe Asham, I'll tell you what that was. You know what it would have been? I would have used min by the Asham to tell me, gabe Asham nami min lama'et, to exclude, she'enoba elamin akvasim bilvad, and it can only come from sheep. It can't come from goats. You shouldn't learn that those ashamas that are to be mevi min akeves, not the ones from the elim, I understand, but the ones that are brought from kvasim could be brought from gdiim, kamash malan, min atzon, thank you. Okay, I don't accept it, says Abba Baba, or whoever. Hey, Tiva, they further attack this. It says, "I min atzon korbano min akvasim min ayizim lo ola." Okay, the exact same words, darn it, the exact same words that you're trying to say by shlomim. It says by an oila. So why do we darsh in the pasuk, "I min atzon korbano"? That is a reference min akvasim and ayizim a korban pesach goes to the shlomim. Why not read this pasuk and say goes to the ola? Huh? There's kind of inconsistencies. That's not a problem. Mishanim davar shu la'achila l'davar shu la'achila. Vein mishanim davar shu la'achila l'davar she'eino la'achila. We're going to change the carbon pesach, which is meant to eat, into an oila, which you're not allowed to eat. Rabbi Yosef bar Rabbi Bon says, I say it's very simple. You don't need to even come on to that. Obviously, you take kachim kalim, which is a pesach, which is essentially a shlamim in a different garb, you know. So you make kachim kalim. You don't make kachim kalim into an oila, which is kachim. It's crazy. So that's not a problem. I like it. It's a nice drasha, and we stand by it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Al da alel Rabbi Chanina." Rabbi Chanina had all kinds of problems with this halacha, because in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel, they claimed that a Pesach cannot become a shlomim unless you specify, "I am shechting this for a shlomim." Elim ke shechato l'shem shlomim, and I disagree. I say, said Rabbi Chanina, I say, what's the difference? Any shinui Hashem, you turn a Pesach into an Eila, it becomes a Shlomi. Oh, says Omer Rabbi Law, where do you get that from? Because the time of Rabbi Yochanan, meaning Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan is explaining Rabbi Chanina, is because it says, I min atzon korbano lezevach shlamim. That's the point. So if you brought this Pesach for anything, that's your korban. Koshu zevach, I don't care what the carbon is. Any zevach, could be an oil or whatever the heck you want. It's a shlomim, come hell or high water. Okay, says the Gemara, come hell or high water. Let's see how far you're ready to hold with that. Suppose you shecht a carbon pesach as an oila, which is posel. So here's my chap. You shecht your carbon pesach to be an oila. For instance, hey Chavida, shechta l'shem ola manat lizork dom alamacha. I'm shechting this carbon pesach as an oila whose blood I want to be zayrik at the wrong time. So it would be a pigle oila. Okay? So what would be the din there? Says the Gemara, understand, who cares? I mean, the bottom line is, whether you're turning it into the shlomim or whether it remains a pesach or becomes an oila, I mean, if you're going to have a makshevas pigle, so then it's going to be posel anyway. So who cares? Become a posel no matter what you do with it. Ah, makes a big difference. The difference is simply this. If you're telling me that come hell or high water means even if you changed it into a carbon, which is posel, it becomes a shlomim. So then you're going to have a shlomim, which is pigel, because you decided to bring the dominant shlomim chutz lizmana. But if you're going to tell me, no, you can't change a Pesach into a shlomim by calling it a pasul ayla, so then you've got another psul. Your psul is that you have a pesach that was shechted shelo lishma, which did not automatically transfer it into a shlomim, and a pesach shelo lishma is pasul, and a carbon that is pasul for any other reason, which is also pigel, is not pigel. It doesn't get the dinim of chiyav karas of pigel. Remember, it's karzah's kosher, kachartzah's pasul. It has to be a completely kosher pigel carbon, so to speak. That's what I want to know. Ha? Ha? What you say, smarty pie? I don't know. Okay, so we leave that hanging, basically. And then we get into that wonderful question, which we had discussed in the Bavli, which is the beautiful mirror image, which I'll let you off from, because basically we finished the daf, which I'll let you off of. But you remember the beautiful mirror image. Normally, if you shecht something lishma, it's kosher, and shelo lishma, it's pasul. And if you shecht it half of the shechita lishma and half of the shechita shelo lishma, so we have that whole discussion. Shechta lishma v'shelo lishma. But we have the same question in the inverse of a carbon pesach shelo bismano. If you shecht it at lishma, then it's pasul. But if you shecht it at shelo lishma, then it's pasul. What would be the din if you shecht it at the first part of the shechita was lishma and then shelo lishma, or vice versa? That exciting question is exactly what you want to be talking about on an Erev Pesach, which isn't an Erev Pesach. And you can imagine, oh my God, how easy it is to get mixed up. You shechted your carbon Pesach this morning. You start thinking to the car, oh hell, it's not Erev Pesach. Okay, so then let me bring it for something else. And there you are in the middle of Shkita. Exactly for today's daf, lishma visha lo lishma, in the act of Shkita. What would be the din? Let us wait for the next exciting episode.